All right. Thank you again for being here on this resurrection morning. A couple things I forgot to mention. If you are a guest, if you'll stop by the information desk, we have a little gift for you. It's a little gift card to one of the coffee places by here. Just another way of our saying thank you for being with us this morning. And then in the foyer, you'll see a bunch of nicely decorated wall with some flowers. That's for where we'll take your family picture if you'd like that. You just go there. If that gets a little crowded, we have a room down here we'll point you to, and then we'll take a family photo and we will get that to you. We figured we'll do that on Easter because everybody is dressed so nicely and we want to take advantage of that. Of course, today is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It's one of the key doctrinal beliefs of the Christian faith. And, you think about death. Death has always been one of man's greatest fears. And really, it's not necessarily because of the event itself, although that could be, the thought of that can be a little bit distressing. But I think the greater fear with death is the fear of the unknown. People don't understand what's after death. And they fear it, and they're not sure what it is. And it always amazes me, people will stake their eternity on something they're not even sure of. The resurrection helps us with that. If you look at the different spiritual belief systems throughout the world, I heard the other day, I don't know if it's accurate, that there's over 4,000 of them. And you look at Christianity, you say, what is the difference in Christianity and these other beliefs? Well, the founder of Christianity is alive. Can't say that about a founder. You can look at every other founder of whatever religion you want to look at, or philosophy, or you just name it. All of them died, and that was the end. Jesus Christ died, but that was not the end. That was just a beginning. Skeptics say to believe in a risen Christ is nothing more than a blind leap of faith with little or no basis in truth. We could go through it, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but if you look scripture and you look at it, the resurrection is something that Jesus even predicted before it happened. Yeah. It was predicted in the Old Testament. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared in many different times to many different people and proved it was. So it's, well, you can get a few people and you can get them to lie. You can deceive them. There were a time where he appeared to over 500 people, trying to get 500 people to believe the same thing or lie about the same thing. The resurrection, you say, well, you think of the disciples. When Jesus was arrested and put to and was going to be crucified, they were cowering and they were running and they were fearful for their lives. And later on, they were being persecuted, and they were willing to die for the faith, and all of them pretty much died for their faith in very horrific ways. What changed them from being cowards? Because they met the risen Christ. You look at the early church and how it grew so fast. Why? Because of the resurrection of Christ and the testimony of those early believers, particularly those who met him. And if you want a very practical reason to believe in the resurrection, look at the transformed lives throughout history from people who met Jesus Christ. You know, there used to be an atheist. There was an old preacher in the 1800s, D.L. Moody, and there was an atheist, and he would, a well-known atheist, I don't know if it was Ingersoll or one of these other guys, and he kept saying, I want to debate you, I want to debate you, I want to debate you. And Moody didn't have time for that. And finally, he sent him back a letter and said, okay, I'll debate you. Under one condition, you go find me somebody who was a drunkard, who had a horrible life, who had terrible things going on, and you taught them about atheism and it changed their life. Find one, and I'll debate you. He never heard from him again. But I know many people whose lives were transformed by Jesus Christ. The resurrection has a significance that's more than just one day a year. By the way, if you're visiting, you're saying, hey, this, you know, we're getting to the preaching a little bit late. I mean, is this, you know, I'm thinking of going to grandma's house. I'm hungry. Well, I'm hungry too. So, you know, I guarantee we'll be out of here before one. Just before one. I do believe in the phrase I heard a long time ago, to be effective, you don't have to be eternal. So we'll work on that. As we look in our story, these were two believers who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. This was right after Jesus Christ had died and he had been buried. There was a lot of confusion among the believers because they didn't quite get the memo. Jesus on many times told them that what was going to happen, and they just didn't catch it. Peter, in fact, wanted to argue with Jesus about it. And so now he's arrested, and they all fled, and there's a lot of confusion. And then he's put to death. And then starts to come word that a couple of the ladies went to the tomb, and they said it was empty, that Jesus was not in there. And again, the confusion continued on. So here are these two men, and they're down and discouraged, and they're traveling. Emmaus was about a small village, about 7-8 miles from Jerusalem. These two men were walking, and they were discouraged. Fact of the matter is, they had no right to be discouraged. They were down about Jesus being put to death and confused about all these rumors they're hearing that the tomb was empty. But then something interesting happens in the story, the verses we read. The resurrected Christ connects with them. He starts to walk with them. Now, they don't understand who he is. Look at verse 27 of Luke chapter 24. Let's continue the story after Jesus gets with them. He says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in the scriptures all things concerning himself." So Jesus starts to talk to them because they're discouraged. He's like, well, didn't Old Testament say this? And the Old Testament said this. And he's trying to help them to connect the dots from the Old Testament scripture. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther." So they get to where they're going, and Jesus is kind of acting like he's going to keep walking. In verse 29, "But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." So they invite him in to eat with them. Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat with meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Could you imagine them? They're sitting at the table. They're discouraged. Jesus even said, "Hey, you're sad." And they don't know what's going on. And this stranger comes, and he starts to encourage them from the scripture. And hopefully it started to get around in their head that maybe this is something that was supposed to happen. And then they invite him in to eat, and then he breaks bread with them. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say, but maybe they saw the nail-pierced heads. But whatever it is, God opened their eyes, and it's like, it's Jesus. And then Jesus vanishes out of their sight. Now they realize that this was Jesus and that he was alive. Everything they had heard about him being risen is now true. Everything about why he came to this earth now starts to make sense in their mind. Everything they were feeling, which was causing them to be down, now is turned and is replaced with energy and with joy. You see, the event of the resurrection is not just the actual event itself. It is what is accomplished by it afterwards. Yes, the event is important, but it's just not a one-time event you walk away from. It accomplished something. It had a purpose. The resurrection provided proof that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the Messiah, the one who was to come to die for the sins of the world. Everything about why, everything, the resurrection provided purpose to disciples who had become discouraged. The resurrection also provided power for them as they went forward on this earth. But I want you to notice verse 32. After Jesus vanishes from their sight, verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" They started to think about this whole thing. And they started getting a warm feeling in their heart. They started saying, you know, when he was talking to us, remember how he was opening the scriptures, how our hearts started to burn. See, they were discouraged, they were down, they were sad. But as they learned the word of God and they were figuring out what this whole thing was and the whole purpose of Jesus Christ, their hearts started to warm up. Here's the message on this Resurrection Sunday. Let the resurrection not just be a one-day-a-year event or a historical fact of 2,000 years ago, but let it be a difference maker in your life today. You see, we tell that the most heavily attended day in church, in any church in the country, is Easter Sunday. People think about it. And there's nothing wrong with you being here on Easter Sunday. But you know, there's more to the resurrection than that. There's more to what God wants to provide in your life through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to look at these men in the few minutes that we have, because I want you to see their life before their understanding of the resurrection. And then I want a quick application of what happened to them after their understanding of the resurrection. Let's look at them before their understanding of the resurrection. The Bible tells us as they were walking, it says, and they talked together. See, they had hopeless reasoning in their head. They were just going through this whole process, going through what happened, and they're trying to make sense of it, but it wasn't working. They were reasoning among themselves. And let me just say this, if you're trying to figure out life by yourself, it's not going to happen. There are so many false views of this life and what's going on. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of the views of our society, it's getting sillier and sillier and sillier. It doesn't even make sense. It astonishes me that we just had Women's History Month, and they'll sit here and want to celebrate the actions of women, and men are taking their spots. Can someone just stand up and say the emperor has no clothes? How many of you know that story? Yeah, only one kid had, hey, he's got nothing on. But we're trying to figure out this life, and we're trying to reason it in our mind, and it doesn't work. Our understanding is so limited. And they were trying to figure out what happened here. They reasoned. It says that their eyes were holden. In other words, their eyes were blinded, that they couldn't see what was going on. And by the way, if we're not looking at life from a spiritual perspective, that's going to be the case with us. We will not be able, let's just say, I say this over and over, Christian or non-Christian, problems are a part of life. Let me just say this, if you're a Christian, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to escape problems of life. That's a fairy tale. Well, I'll never have any trials because it's Jesus and me. You'll still have trials. You're going to go through it. The question is this, how are you going to go through it? Are you going to try to go through it on your own without any help of the Lord? That's a dangerous place to be. Because you look at the things of life and you're just looking at it from the here and the now, and discouragement is going to come, and you're not going to get what God's trying to do in your life. Our worldview is messed up. And it said, and he said unto them, look what Jesus figured this out. What manner of communications? He said, what are you guys talking about? That you have one to another as you walk and are sad. Look, if I just looked at this world from strictly what's going on in this world, I'd be depressed. Oh, yeah. I'd be borderline suicidal. Yeah. Look, you want to get discouraged? Just hop on social media. Yeah. People can say something dumb about anything. You could say, like, a ship was sinking and 57 people were miraculously saved. They're like, well, what about the ship that sunk 2 days ago? And people are negative about everything. But I'm glad that I can look at the scripture and I'm hearing good news. And even when things seem like they're going bad, God's got it under control. I don't have to do this thing on my own. And I'm not saying that we always jump around like, woohoo, things come. But not that kind of permanent discouragement where what's going on in your life is completely detached from everything else. No. Your faith has great place in everything that happens to you. Then it says, they said, but we trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. You ever lose hope? Sometimes you want to lose hope, right? Yeah. But you know what? We don't need to lose hope. And I get it. I've been there. Sometimes you just kind of want to, what's the word I'm looking for? You want to complain. You want to have a pity party. Can I just tell you, have a pity party. Nobody shows. It's just you. But you know what's good? Just come out of it. Say, you know what? I don't want to stay over here. Come on. How many of you felt like that? I've been there, and I've even had conversations with God, and I'm like, that was not good. I'm thankful he's gracious. But we our hope's removed. I've told the story before, but you know the story about the rats where they throw them in the water, and I think a rat can only last about, I don't know what the number is, I might be wrong, like 15 minutes, and they drowned. And so they would throw them in there, and right when the rat was ready to go, they would grab it out of the water. They'd let it recoup, and they'd throw it back in. And then they'd wait again, they'd do it a few times, and the rats that had been saved a few times could last in the water like over an hour. What was the difference? You know why? They had hope now. Because they had been rescued before, they're thinking, hey, if I just hold on a little bit longer, it's all going to be good. Look, it's okay if we get down a little bit. Talk to somebody. Never get to the place where you lose hope. If you're saved, you have a great hope. Not only do we have a hope of eternity, we have a hope that everything that happens in our life has a plan in God's eyes, and it's not just meaningless. It's not just, you know, fate. I mean, they were like, well, we thought this was the Messiah, but it just didn't work out. No, he was the Messiah. It's just the road they wanted was not the road he had to travel. So that's their understanding. They were all, you could basically say their hope had been lost. But then something happens. They meet Jesus Christ. And after their understanding of the resurrection, several things changed. Now they that were hopeless are now hopeful. They who were weak were now strong. Could you imagine? That's a 7 or 8 mile trip. That's a pretty long trip to take in the first place, but especially when you're discouraged. It must have seemed like 100 miles. Now they're strong. Now their sadness melts away and they're glad. Now their defeated attitude switches to a victorious attitude. How does it affect us? How did it affect them and how can it affect us? Well, look at verse 32. The scripture spoke to them. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Now, I'll say this. I've seen people excited about things, and they are clueless about what they're excited about. Have you been there? I mean, I'll see new Christians sometimes, and they're so excited. It's like, what are you excited? I'm just excited. Like, is there anything behind this? I'm just excited. And I'm okay about being excited. But their hearts started to burn. But why did their hearts burn? Because he talked with us by the way, and he opened the scriptures. See, without an understanding of the scriptures, without getting into the Bible, you're not going to have any of this. You are going to get down when things go bad. You are going to think that things aren't going to turn out right when God says, just hang in there. Because you're not listening to him. You're not going to the one who's going to give you the encouragement and the strength that you need. They had the written word. Jesus looked at it and said, listen, here, didn't the Bible say this? They had the spoken word. Jesus explained it to them. By the way, that's why church is important. Not just one day a year. Listen, it's nice to be in a place where you can be encouraged by other Christians. Where you can hear someone, whether in here or in your Sunday school class, say, hey, it's not all that bad. The Bible still works. And then they had the living word. They had Jesus Christ himself. They had the word of God. The Bible changed them. Look, if you're a Christian and you're struggling more than God wants you to, I guarantee you, your intake of the Word of God's not enough. It's not enough. You got to know what he says. He wants to help us. He wants to give us direction. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us encouragement, but we can't get it if the pages of our Bible are closed. All the encouragement we need, look, it's not on television. It's not on CNN, for sure. It's not on MSLSD. It's not. It's not on the radio. It's not in the music of our day. It's not in any of those things. The encouragement we need is right here. It's in the Word of God. And if we're not getting into it, we wonder why our Christianity starts to get cold. Because we don't have anything to heat it up. It's heated up by the Word of God. Secondly, I want you to see that after the resurrection, their energy returns. We just read the Bible sometimes, we don't think it through. And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. It's like, oh, cool, they went to see that. That's another 8 miles. They didn't Uber. What, are you going to Uber and some guy's going to come and carry you on his back? They didn't have Uber. They didn't have buses. They didn't have bikes. They had to get out and walk again. If it was 8 miles one way, and that's 16 miles. That's like two-thirds of a marathon. That they had the energy, though. That wasn't a big issue to them. It's like, hey, it's all good. It's all coming together. It's making sense. Now I can make it. By the way, when you lose hope, you are zapped of energy. You're zapped, right? How many of you like sports? You'll see a team and they'll be down and they're getting kicked around, and all of a sudden, if it's basketball, they make a couple baskets, and all of a sudden, they're not tired anymore. It kicks in. The energy kicks in. And if we're in the Word of God and we're trying to do the right thing, hey, we'll have the energy to do the things we need to do. We'll be able to make it when others aren't. Many of us in here would say that we don't serve a dead Savior. How many of you say we serve a living Savior? Then why do we settle for a dead faith? That doesn't make any sense to me. He's not just living so we can point to him and say, hey, that's good for him. He's living for us. And if we serve a living Savior, we need to have a living and vital faith. And then the last thing here, I told you I wouldn't be long. The conclusion's really, really out of control, though. Their confusion departs from them. So these guys, they another 8 miles, here we go. And remember when they were saying, they're reasoning among themselves, this is ridiculous. We thought he was going to be Messiah. He's not the Messiah. Everything's bad. And then look at verse 33. After they go the 8 miles, they get with the believers and they say, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. That sounds like a matter of fact. That sounds like they believe that 100%. If we understand that Jesus Christ isn't just about Christmas when he was born and Easter, resurrection, when the end of his life and he ascends to heaven, there's a whole lot more to this thing. He wants to have a relationship with you. So let's celebrate Easter, the resurrection, not just today, because his life is to be duplicated in our life. Bible tells us we're supposed to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He gives us the power to live this Christian life. There's no need for us to be confused. There's no need for us to be waffling in our beliefs and in our faith. It's rock solid. And the same disciples, and you, this probably multiplied 100 times over with all the believers of those days. Once they knew Jesus Christ was risen and they saw it, they knew it was there, it's like you couldn't stop them. You couldn't shut them up. I mean, they were overtaking Jerusalem to the point where persecution came in and they had to scatter. And guess what happened when they scattered to all these other cities? They started it there too. Everywhere they went, they took it with them. Hey, we serve a risen Savior. Hey, there's purpose in this life. Hey, there's an afterlife and we can live there with him. So let's celebrate the resurrection, but let's celebrate it personally. The song, I serve a risen, I'm not going to sing it because you'd all die here. I serve a risen, I quote it, it's poetry too. Okay, you want to come up here, John, and sing? I'll more than gladly give you, exactly. Said the guy not in the choir. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voices cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. Let me ask this and we're done. What difference is Jesus making in your life? I didn't ask if you're perfect. No one's perfect. But as you live your daily life, if you come to church, it's like, hey, I got that out of the way. I'll see you next Sunday. And that's not what it's all about. Right. This is about a relationship. If he's not dead and he's living, maybe we can have a relationship with him. Yeah. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can make a difference and an impact in our life. And are we allowing it? Yes, he is a risen Savior. But not to live somewhere else. He lives in us. And that should make the greatest difference of all. If we may for a second, let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a second. Thank you for listening. Tried to talk fast. Easter's a wonderful day. And I get it. We do all the family things in our family, and we'll go eat at someone's house, and we died. We did it all. I get it. I thought I was over that when we had our kids, now grandkids, so we have to do it all over again. We enjoy all of that, but that's not the meaning of Easter. Yeah. Easter is Jesus Christ. Easter is Jesus Christ raising from the dead, proving that he was who he said he was, and that what he did is effectual. It works. But here's the question. The greatest thing that the resurrection did is it conquered death. You see, people fear death because they don't know what comes after death. There is an afterlife. And Jesus' death on the cross and his overcoming death with the resurrection gives us the opportunity to go to heaven when we die. We can conquer the permanency of death. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would be in heaven? Or do you have any doubt? A friend of mine invited me to church when I was in high school. I didn't go to church. I'd been to church maybe 2 times in my life. And he said, "Hey, it's Easter Sunday. Will you come to church with me?" And on that Easter Sunday, I went to church. That day, someone just asked that same question you asked. And I didn't know for sure that I was going to heaven when I died. And on that day, I talked to somebody, and I received Christ as my Savior. And my eternity was changed. Not just that, my life was changed. Maybe you're here this morning, and that was you. "Pastor, I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to be sure, I'd like to know." With nobody looking around, if that's you, you say, "Pastor, would you pray for me about that? I'm not sure. Would you just raise your head quickly until I see it and put it down?" Anybody like that at all? Yes, I see you back here. To your left. Yes, in the back here. Okay, anybody else at all? The greatest thing you can do is trust Christ. Let's stand together. What difference is Jesus making in your life? If you're saved, you have the power that you need to live the life that God has for you. You have the power you need to get over the things that would cause long-term discouragement and despair through Jesus Christ. But we have to allow him to work in our life. Maybe God spoke to you. Some piano plays. Why don't you come and spend some time in prayer? So, "Lord, I want you to do something in my life. I don't want to just be someone who knows you. I want to really know you.